Psalms chapter number 12. Let me go ahead and turn this thing on. Psalms chapter number 12. And you might turn it up just a little bit so Brother Tom can hear it a little better. And Psalms chapter number 12. Is that good, Brother Tom? Can you hear that all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. And I'll try not to be quiet. I know oftentimes I'm a very quiet preacher. And so I'll try not to be quiet. I'll try. I don't get too excited about everything, you know. Anyway, Psalms chapter number 12. Let's read the whole psalm. It says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity with every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this day and for this time we've had together. We thank you for the country you've allowed us to live in. Lord, as we get ready to celebrate again, Father, the independence of our nation. And Father, we do not fail to understand your hand. God, as anyone who would honestly and openly look at the history of our nation would see the hand of God upon us time and time again in your mercy and your grace. You have helped us and you have strengthened us and upheld us. And God, now we ask that, Father, for all of our wickedness, Lord, in our nation, Father, for all of our wickedness in ourselves as your children, Lord, for not having upheld the gospel as we should, for not having done our part to see that righteousness was established in our land, forgive us, Lord, and give us grace that we might rise again with the Word of God and see this nation turned again to Christ. Father, I know you are able. If, Father, we would be willing and obedient, you said we could eat of the fat of the land. So help us now at this time as we look to your word, that it might fashion us and shape us and mold us into the Christians you'd have us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 12 here, there are three areas that are covered here that I'd like for us to look at this afternoon. First of all, I'd like for us to see our subtle dangers. The subtle dangers that surround us, the subtle dangers that threaten us, that threaten to destroy us, our families, our homes, our nation, our way of life. They are subtle dangers. And the first one is, notice in verse 1, he says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." The first subtle danger is to look around and realize that there are fewer and fewer people who are faithful to God's house, who are faithful to God's word, who are faithful to do the work of God. There are fewer and fewer people who are faithful to do that. And the psalmist rightly says, "Help, Lord." Why? Because it is a dangerous thing when the godly men cease. You remember what happened to the children of Israel when that people arose who didn't know Joshua, who didn't know the works that God had done in the wilderness. Those people came up and what did they do? They immediately forgot God. Hey, and that's what happened. You know, that's why they took the Ten Commandments out of school. Because they forgot God. A generation came up who had forgotten all the great work that God had done in revivals in this nation through the Word of God. And they thought that somehow they could survive, somehow they could make a way, somehow they could prosper without God. There are some billboards and some signs that have been out, you might have seen them, that said there's hope and love or whatever without God. No, there is not. People who put out that sign do not understand the human nature. They do not understand the people they live with in this world. That without the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, that men are base, vile, wicked, violent creatures. That's what we are. And except it be for the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that restraining power, that's the only thing that holds all that wickedness back. We need to understand there's a subtle danger when Christians stop being faithful to the house of God. When they stop thinking the revival meetings are important.
When they stop thinking they're handing out a tract will do any good. When they stop thinking that they need to memorize this scripture and hide it in their hearts. That's a subtle danger in our life that will destroy us if we don't have faithfulness. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith in the earth? Will He find you faithful? Are you determined that you will be one who He finds faithful when He comes? Or are you tempted, just like the rest of the world, to go away? Folks, there's power in the blood of Christ. There's power in the Word of God. All the power that we need is still right here, available for us to use if we will give ourselves to it. And it is a subtle danger when the people of God cease being faithful. The second one is found in verse number 2. He says, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. It's a subtle danger when we begin to think that our mouth is our own. Our mouth is our own. Hey, how many times have you heard people say, you can't tell me what to say? You ever heard somebody tell you that? Well, I'll tell you what, God better be able to tell you. I may not let the Congress vote me out of preaching, but if God tells me to preach, I'm going to preach. I don't care about that. I care about what God wants me to say. There is a Lord over these lips who I am accountable to. Jesus said that we're going to be held accountable for every idle word that we've ever spoken. There's a subtle danger in not being aware of what we are saying with our mouth. Do you realize the Bible says in the book of James that the tongue is the power of life and death? You can take someone who is having a hard way and they're in a bad way, and you can use your tongue and you can beat them to death with it, and they won't ever get up. You can take that same tongue and give them out of the love of your heart from the Word of God and raise them up, and they can do something for God. But the problem is, we don't think about our mouths that way. We don't. How many of us can honestly say we go through the whole day conscious that every word that I say today must be in submission to Christ? I can't say that. I ought to be doing that. It's a subtle danger. The Bible says the tongue is set on fire of hell. It's a world of iniquity. A subtle danger that can destroy us is the way we use our mouth. We try to teach our children how to talk nicely to each other. How to, when they pick up the phone and answer the phone, they'll say, hello. But to answer the phone like children of God. Like I got some hope in the world. Hello. How can I help you? Why? Because it's important, folks. You may be the only time anybody ever hears anything from the Bible, maybe from your lips. Are they going to be willing to hear it? It's a subtle danger. The use of our tongue. Look, they said they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips. They're talking about all the useless stuff in the world, and they never use their mouth once to tell someone the gospel. It's a subtle danger. You can pat yourself on the back and say, man, I was really eloquent on that subject today, but you never told them the gospel. There's one thing I want people to know, if they're around me very long, I'm going to tell them something about what the Bible says. I'm going to try to tell them something. I'm going to try to help them somehow with the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that does the work. I want to get that in their heart. I want to get it in their hearing, because that's what will come back again and again and again, is giving them the Word of God. And it's a subtle danger when we lose sight of how we use our lips. Notice, verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? What an arrogant attitude. It's a subtle danger when we forget that we serve a holy God who will indeed visit upon us the results of our iniquity. If we fail to repent, if we will not turn, we will suffer the consequences of our choice to sin against God. It's a subtle danger. We think that we can go along and do as we please and that there are no ramifications involved, but there are. And it is a subtle danger for us, and we need to understand that. God is not asleep. He's not got His eyes closed. He's not got His back turned. It's not, the Bible says His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, so that He will not hear you. It's a subtle danger. Because judgment is not executed speedily against a matter. Therefore, the heart of man is fully set in him to do evil. Just because a lightning bolt didn't come down and strike you out of the sky, strike you from the sky, whenever you stole that piece of candy or whatever you did, you think God doesn't know? You think it's not waiting? It's a subtle danger for us to assume, to presume upon the justice and righteousness of God. So oftentimes, we make excuses for ourselves that God does not. We'll excuse behavior in ourselves that God does not. Well, they had it coming. Show me that in the Bible. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It is a subtle danger. It is a subtle danger for us to assume concerning God. But I'm thankful that we have our Savior's deliverance. Look in verse number 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. First of all, our Savior's deliverance comes in that his heart is attuned to our suffering. He is not a stranger to our suffering. The Bible says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Notice what it said there, for the oppression of the poor. God knows what it's like to be oppressed. Jesus knows what it's like to have financial difficulties, to have things upon you. Remember what he said? They said his father, and they said, the birds of the air have nests. The foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He knows what it means to do without. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. The sighing of the needy. How they wish they could have what they need. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to feel a need. He knows what it's like to feel a need. How often in the Bible do we see Jesus moved with compassion for the multitude? There's like a sheep having no shepherd. A sheep having no shepherd. He knows. He understands. How much does he long? He said to Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He said, how often do I have gathered you as a hen? Gathers her chicks. and you would not. Oh, he wanted to help them. He needed to help them, but he could not because they would not come to him. He understands disappointment. He understands what it is to have people turn your back on you, have people talk bad about you. Well, they called him a glutton, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. He was a friend of publicans and sinners. He brought them salvation. And they came out in the droves because they want to be freed from the filth of their sin. The harlots and the publicans and the drunkards all coming out into the glorious freedom and holiness of God through Jesus Christ. He is one who can be touched with our infirmities. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. I'm so glad that no matter what kind of plans people may have against me, that if God be for me, no one can be against me. I'm so glad that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. All I have to do is live for God and have a right heart. And he has his hand over me. Like he said in the Psalms, he compasses my path. He's all around me, before me, behind me, above me, and even in me. Our Savior's deliverance comes in that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Our Savior's deliverance comes in that he gives us assurance from his word. The words of the Lord are pure words. I love to hear the Word of God. I love to read it. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing like laying down. When I go home and I'm going to sleep and everybody's going to be up in the house, I close the door and I have a playlist on my computer. And I push play and it plays through the speakers. It's got good godly songs on it. And it's got Bible reading where somebody's just reading the Word of God. And I'll hear that and I'll go to sleep. You say, man, doesn't that drive you crazy? Oh, yeah, at first I have thoughts and things I think about it. But I rest in the Lord in those thoughts. I say, oh, that's the Word of God. That's good. Because they're pure words. It's not going to defile me in any way, shape, or form. I can rest safely, peaceably knowing that I'm hearing the Word of God. He said, there is silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. I'm thankful to God because part of His deliverance is that He gives us His Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's good to have deliverance from those subtle dangers. Isn't it? Good to have some way to protect myself from those things. But not just in giving me His Word, but He goes further. He preserves His Word for me. I'm so thankful I don't have to rely on some imam to tell me what a book says. I'm so thankful I don't have to rely on some hierarchy of preachers or evangelists or anybody else to be able to pick up this Bible and read it and know what it says. Or like the young man I talked to when I was in the Marine Corps and on the bus, and he said he was from the Unification Church, and he didn't believe that you could understand the Word of God. He didn't believe you could read it. He believed you had to have this book that this other guy wrote, and God explained His Word to him, and you had to read that book to understand what this book said. And I looked at him and I told him he was crazy. Because I got up every day and I read this book, and I talked to God, and He talked to me. He preserves His Word for me. That's part of my Savior's deliverance. I don't have to ever, you know, you don't have to worry, folks. I don't care if they went on a Bible burning mission tomorrow. They can't burn them all. Even if they were able to get a hold of every copy and burn it, God would just have us print more. Where would we get the words? He'd give them to us just like He did before. They're His words. It's settled forever in heaven. You can't get rid of it. Because he's preserved his word. But with all these subtle dangers and with our Savior's deliverance, there's one last thing, and that's our sovereign duty. He said, verse number 8, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Folks, when living a life of debauchery, of abomination, wickedness, and sin, when that becomes something that people idolize, this country's in trouble. And we have a sovereign duty to stand against it, to speak against it, and not worry. Hey, listen, you know, I've never had anybody yet apologize to me for talking about sports. I never get mad at them for talking about it. I'm not a sports guy. You talk about sports, you aren't offending me. It's okay. But I'm not a sports guy. But you can talk sports all you want. I'll never ask you to apologize for it. But I've had people who expect me to apologize for talking about the Bible. I laughed. I said, you want me to apologize for giving you the best thing for your soul you ever had? That's like asking a guy to apologize for giving a thirsty man a drink of water. I've had people who didn't think it was my right to say what was in this book. But they could run their mouth all day and all the filthy conversation they wanted to. I laugh. God told me I could speak these. He didn't say you can speak what you do. We have a sovereign duty, folks. Not to be mean or ugly about stuff, but to stand for what's right. To stand in a place and say, no, it's not right to do that. It's not right to lie. It's not right to do all that kind of stuff. We have a duty. God loves us and He's preserved us. He's given deliverance. We ought not to let vile men be exalted. The news media tries to do it all the time. Man, all these things have gone on in the past, and it's not just one, it's a bunch of these politicians that they've tried to sweet and sugarcoat and make look good. People get all... Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't want my children to have any sports figures be their heroes. As long as they're going around nightclubs and drinking and getting gun and knife fights. Sorry. Don't need any movie stars to be their heroes. They can't keep their homes together. They can't keep their lives together. They got all that money and they don't use any of it for God. Don't need to be their heroes. I want my children's heroes to be people who are people of righteousness and character, integrity, courage, and faith. I want to be somebody in this world, somebody for God. Somebody for God. You say, well, you suffer a lot of ignominy and reproach. Hey, you're in good company. Jesus did. And we are called to suffer the afflictions of the gospel. I've had meetings in offices where I worked because of things that I said. I was just telling them the truth. And when the supervisor said, well, you can't say those kind of things, I said, well, I'll stop saying those kind of things when you tell them to stop cussing and taking God's name in vain. You tell them to stop talking about all their illicit sexual activity. I said, you start controlling their tongues and you can control mine. I'm going to stop speaking righteousness just because you don't like it. Just because it makes you convicted. I'm not going to be mean about it, and I wasn't mean about it. But when they were trying to say what I did or didn't say, I always stopped them. I said, this is exactly what I said. Because I wasn't ashamed of a word I'd spoken or written. I rejoice in it. Because it's true. Folks, we are the winners.
We should live like it. Subtle dangers is, that's what those subtle dangers do. They stop us from living the life we ought to. We get to worrying and fretting and forgetting that we serve a living God. Let's all stand to our feet this afternoon.